I was out visiting some friends the other day, and she came up and gave me the biggest hug. And then her husband shook my hand. And it occurred to me that I'm missing touch. And with this COVID and social isolation, all this sort of stuff, and I'm missing that sort of touch. And I'm wondering whether you are too. I know some people who are really huggy people, and they just love to have big open arms that sort of just swallow you up and embrace you, and it just feels like you've been swallowed up by a big bear. Whereas other people just don't like physical touch. They like to remain distant and keep some space. And I'm a physical touch type person, but I wondered what this world will be like once this COVID-19 crisis is over. And I wonder what, well, will we be more paranoid about physical touch? Could the habits of social distancing, continue as just as a matter of course, that we keep our distance a bit further from other people? Will the fear of physical touch feed into an even greater fear of being open and vulnerable to others on a soul level? I think I'm sure that we need to actually touch, and something happens when we touch. It's a physical awareness that we're not alone, and there is a pressure on the nerve endings of your skin. Someone has moved from their existence into our existence, and that we're not alone. And it's not just the COVID crisis that's changing our touch habits. It could be actually the device that you're watching or listening to this post onto. There's a lady called Tiffany Field, and she's a researcher of touch at the Touch Institute. Yes, there's one of those at University of Miami, Miller School of Medicine. And she traveled to different airports in Florida to watch people interacting. She made a huge and shocking discovery. Nobody was touching each other. Everyone was on their phone. And if you come over to the blog post on turningthepage.co.nz, you can read, there's a link there to an article about why physical touch matters for our well-being. There was one guy I know that everyone passed him by. Nobody stopped to talk, touch, or even have eye contact. And he felt like he wasn't even there, even though he certainly was. He thought of getting a little bell and ring it every time with the rhythm of the worship songs that the people were singing. Perhaps he needed to sing unclean, unclean in this place of worship. It was the kind of socialization, isolation he knew. No one knew how to handle. He was on the outside. You see, he could no longer play the cosmetic mask games they were playing. He hurt on the inside and it flowed outwards. There was no ability to contain his depression and anxiety and make out like everything was okay. He needed presence. That was until a little old lady of 92 came and sat next to him, held his hand, and told him without words that he wasn't alone. Her old wrinkled and crinkled hands intertwined for a good half hour. He was in love. Back in 2009, I wrote my final essay for my Bachelor of Applied Theology, and it was entitled The Dehumanizing Effects of Sexual Abuse. And in my research, I came across the work of theologian Miroslav Volf, and he writes, by the way, you can get a copy of that essay if you come over to the website. But on the cross, the circle of self-giving and mutually indwelling divine persons opens up for the enemy. In the agony of passion, the movement stops for a brief moment, and a fissure appears so that sinful humanity can join in. We, the others, we, the enemies, are embraced by the divine persons who love us with the same love with which they love each other, and therefore make space for us within their own eternal embrace. An embrace always involves a double movement of opening and closing. I open my arms to create space for myself for the other. The open arms are a sign of discontent at being myself only and of desire to include the other. They are an invitation to the others to come in and feel at home with me, to belong to me. In an embrace, I also close my arms around the others, not tightly so as to crush and assimilate them forcibly into myself, for that would not be an embrace, but a concealed power act of exclusion, but gently so as to tell them that I do not want to be without them in their otherness. I want them in their openness. I want them to remain independent and true to their genuine selves, to maintain their identity, and as such become part of me so that they can enrich me with what they have and I do not. Miroslav Volf. I just love that quote. I think I should memorize it. So powerful. Actually, there wasn't a 92-year-old lady. And that was the day that he left the church that had deluded him. Instead, he went to the streets to meet other people on the streets. He found them in the gutters, and they shared war stories. And they all had wounds and bruises, some of which had turned into scars. For some, they were still bleeding, and hugs were mingled with anger and the hurt of a fresh wound. Then there were others for whom the wound had turned into a scar. There was a confidence in the, of a well-walked traveller. They had walked the walk. They had talking the silence. They could silence the talk of others. Nadia Bolz-Weber, she's an author, pastor in the States. She writes this: I have this thing about being a preacher who reveals things about herself, and it's that I always try to preach from my scars and not my wounds. So talking about depression is not in any way a wound for me. Look, please be that 92-year-old man or woman who knows how to hold someone else's hand, soul, life safely. Let them speak their wounds and see the scars take shape. It's a beautiful thing. And you may look a lot like Jesus. Mental health is learning to give and receive touch. In an ever-increasing isolated world, we all need to learn how to touch well. Here's some quotes for you to consider. Remember that touch-hungry children become touch-hungry adolescents. Don't miss the opportunity to provide the remedy before they start looking to others. Dave Riddell. Hug your loved one soon. Love and affection do not truly exist until they are given expression, and many suffer from touch hunger. Dave Riddell. I think not touching a child for decades at a time is a form of injury. I think withholding any expression of love until a young boy is a grown man is a form of emotional violence. And I believe that the violence men level against themselves and others is bred from such circumstances. Terence Real. Spiritual friends see a facet of Christ in us and bring it out as no one else can, and they delight to do so. When they see what is unique about us, it causes them great delight, and then, giving way to the powers of daring imagination, they envision what we could become. The vision excites them. With Paul, they see us where we are and feel the pains of labour till Christ is formed in us. Some questions. What do you think might be the long-term effects of social isolation? And I'm thinking of the COVID isolation happening now. 2, how has touch played a role in your life? 3, have you been injured in some way by lack of touch? Hey, I hope you found this helpful, and just love to hear from. I really enjoy hearing from my readers and listeners and viewers. Turningthepage.co.nz is probably the best way. You can privately email me and talk about what you've heard, any questions you might have. As I say, I really like hearing from people because it helps me to write and produce content that's helpful. And if you'd like to support what I'm doing here, come over to turningthepage.co.nz/support, and you'll find it lots of different ways. But until then, I pray that you might be touched by someone and that you might touch someone else, that in a way that you will sense being part of that embrace that Volf talked about. Okay, so we'll catch up with you next week. Okay, bye.